This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ismullah al-Haqq. I'm going to start this series with Ismullah al-Haqq. As I pointed out yesterday to you, inshallah, the way that we're going to do this is we're going to look at his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his glorious names, through 12 categories to help understand better what these names mean, not only in to enhance our comprehension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also to help understand how to implement them in our lives and what effect they have on us. And the first group of names is names of divine judgment. Names that point out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment, jalla jalaluhu, whether the judgment that occurs in this life or judgment that will occur on the day of judgment itself. But it points out His judgment, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm starting with the first one within that category, or the one that in that category I think is the most important of all, is His name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-haqq, the righteous. The word haqq is in the Quran 287 times, which is probably one of the highest frequencies that we have of a word repeated in the Quran that is not a filling word. 9 times in the Quran, the word is used specifically to as a name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the time it comes alone, which is quite rare. Most of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names come in combination. They're called fawasil. They come at the end of verses, and they're usually two of them together. But His name al-Haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala usually comes, when it does, it comes alone. When it's combined with Allah, His name al-Mubin, which is the one that clarifies, or the one who is clear. And the definition of al-Haqq, as the scholars have defined it, قَالْ هُوَ الَّذِي يَقُومُ عَلَيْهِ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ وَبِهِ وَبِدُونِهِ يَنْهَارُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. One of the definitions that is used for al-Haqq is the one that with it everything exists, and without it everything collapses. وَقِيلُ or وَقَالُ, and in another definition, قَالَ هُوَ عَكْسُ الْبَاطِلِ. They said it's the opposite of falsehood. وَبِهِ تَصْلُحُ الْأَشْيَاءِ. And with it, things are able to function. This is how they define righteousness, or the righteous. What allows things to function. Which is why he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ فَاصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ وَمَا خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَمَا خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out that He only created the cosmos and the earth through righteousness, or with righteousness, meaning the only way that they will prevail or succeed or function or exist, the only way it works is if righteousness is at the core of everything that occurs within them. That's why he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, بَلْنَقَذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقُ. فَيَدْمَغُهُ means it hits it right in the head. بَلْنَقَذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ. We throw haqq upon batil and it hits it right in the head. فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقُ. And batil is removed immediately. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. Indeed, that is your Lord, the righteous. And what after righteousness is there aside from misguidance and loss? الضلال is lost, aimlessness. You see, الحق, the righteous, it's also the grantor of purpose. الحق also, another meaning of his name, الحق subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who grants purpose. Because حق, its opposite is falsehood, but also its opposite is aimlessness. So when he says وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, he's also pointing out it's not just righteousness, but it's purposefulness. He created it, there's a purpose for it. It's not aimless. It's not just floating in this nothingness that's going nowhere. No, there's a purpose to it, and that he gave it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ رُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ مَوْلَاهُمُ الْحَقِّ. And they will all be sent back later to their Lord, the righteous. وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لفسدت السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن بل أتيناهم بذكرهم فهم عن ذكرهم معرضون. And if حق, if righteousness followed people's whims and desires, then the cosmos and the earth would have crumbled and everything in them would collapse. Subhanallah. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, one of his أدعية, اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. Oh Allah, show me حق to be حق at all times and allow me to follow it, and show me falsehood to be falsehood, allow me to steer away from it. The ultimate value in the universe is al-haqq. Our lives are just an ongoing test of haqq versus personal interests or some other form of human experience. Whether it's fear, whether it's desire, whether it's worry, whatever it is, but it's up against al-haqq. And once we realize that, we figure out how to make decisions. It's like with life comes this toolkit, and with this, in this toolkit you have a scale. And this scale is held every time you want to make a decision. And sometimes in one of the scale's hand, you put al-haqq. And al-haqq is a value that has no weight assigned to it, because its weight is infinite. Because nothing comes close to it. This is al-haqq. It should outweigh everything. At every time. In every way, haqq has to outweigh everything. I love the Prophet ﷺ's dua, where he says, and we hear this a lot in Taraweeh and Ramadan, and I'm going to go through it for you, and maybe through that, inshallah, we can understand the importance of this concept of al-haqq, especially today, where I think we need it most. He says, Allahumma laka al-hamd, anta al-haqq. He said, oh Allah, all praise due to you. You are the righteous, anta al-haqq. Anta al-haqq. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقَّ أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِي بِرَبِّكَ أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Indeed, we're going to show them our signs. We're going to show them who we are through our signs. You'll see them in the horizons. You'll see these signs in yourself until it is made clear to you that He is the righteous, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the truth. Another meaning of al-haqq is truth. That He is the truth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was it not enough for them that He bear witnesses to everything that occurs? أنت الحق وقولك حق. And what you say is the truth. والله يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل. And Allah is the one who says الحق, and He is the one who guides us to the way, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only does He say حق in general, but everything He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is الحق. Everything He says. When He says, أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزِرَ أُخْرَى. When He says, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Every statement He makes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is الحق. أنت الحق. وَقَوْلُكَ حَقٌّ. Eight of them. It's a nice hadith to memorize. It's a nice dua to memorize. وَقَوْلُكَ حَقٌّ. وَوَعْدُكَ حَقٌّ. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنَ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. That His promise is the truth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That His promise will occur as He promised it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever it may be. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. Allah has promised the believers, as a community, as a nation, that if they actually believe and they perform the deeds that He has required them to perform, that He will grant them prevalence. He will grant them a nation of strength. And He will remove the fear that exists within their hearts. He will grant them the safety and the security that they long for. That's His promise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And His promise is al-haqq. وَلِقَاءُكَ حَقَّ. وَلِقَاءُكَ حَقَّ. And meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment is going to be haqq. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. We are going to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day will come where we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meet Him. وَالْجَنَّةُ حَقَّ. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقَّ فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقَّ قَالُوا نَعَمْ. And the people of Jannah will call upon the people of the hellfire and say, indeed, we have found that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us to be the truth, fil haqq. Did you find what he promised you to be the truth? And they say yes. وَالْجَنَّةُ حَقَّ وَالْنَّارُ حَقَّ قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ قَالَ فَالْحَقُّ وَالْحَقَّ أَقُولُ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ And Iblis told Allah, I'm going to misguide all of them. So Allah's answer was, then the truth, in the truth only I speak, I will fill Jahannam with you and all those who follow you to the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salama. وَالنَّبِيُّونَ حَقَّ This is du'a alayhi salatu wa sallam. وَالنَّبِيُّونَ حَقَّ And the prophets are haqq. وَمَا يُرْسِلُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ وَيُجَادِلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ لِيُدْحِضُوا بِهِ الْحَقَّ وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِي وَمَا أُنذِرُوا هُزُوًا We only send the messengers as those of, who will grant the good news and warn people from punishment. And the disbelievers will argue with falsehood against al-haqq, trying to remove it. And they took all that we sent as a joke. وَمُحَمَّدٌ حَقَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِجْمَعِينَ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَا تُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ Indeed, we sent you with haqq as one who will grant good news and warn of punishment. اللهم لك الحمد أنت الحق وقولك حق ووعدك حق ولقاؤك حق والجنة حق والنار حق والنبيون حق ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حق This is دعاء عليه الصلاة والسلام. It says in Surah Al-Ra'd, which talks about this concept of al-haqq, there are two surahs that talk about haqq, but they talk about it differently. Ra'd talks about haqq in contrast to batil, to falsehood, and Yunus talks about haqq in contrast to aimlessness or purposelessness or dalal. They're a little bit different. In Surah Al-Ra'd, he gives subhanahu wa ta'ala an example. قَالَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال He says subhanahu wa ta'ala descended from the sky water and then when that water moves into rivers And those rivers take us on themselves a specific form. And on top of that river, you'll find foam, zabad. And then he breaks off and he gives another example. And then he says, وَمِمَّا يُوقِدُونَ عَلَيْهِ فِي النَّارِ بِتِغَاءَ حِلْيَةٍ And then the people who take gold and they melt it down, trying to make, they take small pieces of gold to make something a bit bigger. So what they do is they melt down the gold and they... And it goes up to a temperature so high that it's basically liquid. And on top of that liquid, you have this dark matter, this scum on top. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْحَقَّ وَالْبَاطِلِ He says, this is the example I give you of righteousness and falsehood. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ As for the foam on top of the river, or the scum on top of the gold, فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً It gets lost. It gets lost. It doesn't. It's what you see. It's what you see when you look. When you look at the river, you see the foam. When you look at the melted gold, you see the scum. That's what you see. That's what comes. That's what hits the eye when you look at it. It's on top. It seems as if it's on top, but it's really not on top. It's just useless. Soon enough, it'll get lost somewhere between the trees, or the blacksmith will scoop it and throw it into the garbage. But it's just for a moment, it seems as if it's on top. Just for a moment, for a brief second, it seems as if it has some value, as if it somehow is now superior to what فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ As for the foam, فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً It goes uselessly. We don't even know where exactly it gets lost. It just وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ As for that which is beneficial to people, as for فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ It stays on earth, it goes into the soil. And life comes from it, or something that people use and has value to them. كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ That's how your Lord gives you examples. Because batil is just, it's there for a moment. It gets its 15 minutes of fame. It's just there for a second. If you understand the world, you know that haqq is right under it. Haqq is meaningful, haqq is there. It's just the problem, as Ibn al-Qayyim pointed out in one of his books. He said, قَالَ رَفَعَ صَاحِبُ الْبَاطِلِ رَايَةَ الْبَاطِلِ. A person had a banner of falsehood, and so he lifted it. فَجْتَمَعَ حَوْلَهُ أَهْلُ الْبَاطِلِ. And the people of Batil all came running, and they stood there. قَالَ وَلَمْ يَرْفَعَ صَاحِبُ الْحَقِّ رَايَةَ الْحَقِّ وَلَمَّا رَفَعَهَا لَمْ يَجْتَمِعْ حَوْلَهُ أَهْلُهَا. And the person with the banner of Haqq forgot to put his banner up. Or when he did, the people didn't come running around him. That's it. That's the only thing. The problem is just the people who have Haqq didn't lift their banner. And when they saw the banner lifted, they didn't go and huddle around the Haqq. So it seemed as if Batil had something to say, but it's temporary. It's temporary. It's just until the Haqq, people of Haqq find themselves and find what it is they stand for. There are many stories in the Quran that talk about this concept of his name subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Haqq, the righteous one, or the granter of purpose. But the one that stands out the most is the story of the stolen shield. And to summarize the story really quickly for you, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was brought to him a case of someone who had a shield stolen from his shed. And the man who came and reported the robbery suspected a group of Muslims from the Khazraj, a group, Bani Ubayriq. And they were known to be, well, not the greatest group of people. And he had some evidence, but he did not have proof of it. They got a hint of what was happening, so they quickly counter, and he reacted, and they went back. And they cleaned things up, and they took the shield and they hid it because they had stolen it. They hid it in the backyard of a Jewish fellow. His name is Zayd ibn Samin. And then they go to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, claiming that they were mistreated, claiming that someone is accusing them of something that they didn't do. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam almost got on the minbar and pointed out the fact that they are, that they are exonerated and they did not do it. And he performed a search, and they found the shield in the backyard of this Jewish man. And he almost accused this man of doing it, because this was the evidence he had, alayhi salatu wasalam, at the time, in terms of following the protocol. And the Quran would be revealed to him before Fajr, and Jibreel never came in the middle of the night. Jibreel always came at time when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was functional. He didn't come and wake him up at night. For this story, Jibreel would come and wake him up in the middle of the night before Fajr. And he would say, "Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqq litahkuma bayna an-nasi bima araka Allahu fala takun lil-kha'ineena khaseema." Indeed, we have revealed this book to you through truthfulness, through righteousness, so that you may judge amongst people with the best of your ability. Do not stand by those who are traitors. And the Quran would come and exonerate this Jewish fellow and point out this Muslim family to be the people who actually robbed and stole. At a time where a Khazraji person stealing from an Ausi person was a problem on so many levels. They're exonerating a person from outside the faith, because al-haq is the haq. Al-haq trumps all. The concept of al-haq, it trumps all. There's nothing that comes even remotely close to the importance of this topic. Today, when we watch what's happening across the globe, and we see the reason that these things are happening is because we've lost our affinity to the concept of righteousness and truth within our own lives, because those scales are not tilting in the right direction appropriately. We don't seem to understand that everything is based on al-haq, and that when we see al-haq, that's it. You live by al-haq. You speak the truth. You live by the truth. You accept the truth upon yourself. And more importantly, you stand by the truth. You stand by it. You live by it. Whatever it is that is required to support that which is righteous, then you do it. Whatever righteousness requires in terms of your support, then that is what you offer. You live by the truth. And then if needed, then you die by the truth as well. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his story is the story of the triumph of al-haqq. That's his story, alayhi salatu wasalam. There's really not much else to his full life story, aside from someone who was presented with the haqq, with righteousness, and he lived by it till his last moment. And he supported it unconditionally all throughout his life. He refused to take a step sideways to al-haqq throughout the entirety of existence. Never did he accept any aspect of batil in his story. Like, they negotiated with him, alayhi salatu wasalam, for 7 years in Mecca, as they persecuted him and his sahaba. They negotiated, trying to get him maybe to compromise, just something. Because if haqq is so powerful, al-batil just needs it to compromise just once. Al-batil is all wrong. Everything about falsehood is wrong. They're living through sin. Batil lives through sin, lives through mistake, through shortcomings. All it wants from al-haqq is just to make one mistake. Just do one thing wrong. Just do an act of batil so that we're equal now. So that we can equal, because al-haqq is so pure, because it's so beautiful, because it's so meaningful. And they tried to get him to do it, alayhi salatu wasalam. U'bud ilahana aaman, alihatana aaman, na'bud ilahaka aaman. A year you worship our idols, a year we worship yours. No. Tayyib, what do you want? Do you want wealth? Do you want sovereignty? What do you want? He wants nothing. Tayyib, fine, we'll accept what you do, but remove, don't have us sit with the peasants. We'll accept it. Can you have like a majlis specific for the nobles? Not, I don't want to sit with the peasants. I don't want to sit with the people who were once my slaves. Can you at least just have two masajid, one for us and one for them, so that we're just a little bit, just dignify us? Nope. When you hear the story of his life, alayhi salatu wasalam, it seems like he had the upper hand the whole time. Because really, in essence, he did. Because in essence, he did. Whoever has al-haqq has the upper hand. Even if the other one has the bombs and has the rifles and has the guns and has the metal and has the fire, it's whoever has al-haqq who has the upper hand. Always was and always will be. Even if the numbers there are, even if people are dying, even if they're suffering and they're struggling, al-haqq, because it's so powerful as a concept, as an idea, it's so strong. If you stand by it, you are strong like it. Despite the fact that throughout us, it's the zahbat, it's the zahbat, that's all it is. Even for a short period of time, you're struggling. It's just because the foam is on top for a bit. It's just going to be there for a bit. It'll soon be washed out. It'll be washed out soon. And haqq will come back again. And if it doesn't happen in this lifetime, it'll happen yawm al-qiyamah. Yawm al-qiyamah is where haqq, it's about haqq. Yawm al-qiyamah, the point of it is that haqq will prevail. And haqq will be clear to everyone around. And the judgment will be based on al-haqq. And the reward will be given through haqq. And punishment will be dished out through haqq. And people will go to their final destinations based on haqq. So the question you have to ask yourself, on which side of the rails do you stand? Do you live by al-haqq? Do you stand by al-haqq? Or are you on the other side of it? Because subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to give himself a name which is of the ultimate value in the universe, of the concept that is most important. He doesn't do that a lot, but he does it for these concepts. His name is al-haqq and his name is al-adl as well, which is justice. He gave himself names, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of these critical and crucial concepts that we have. And that's ismullah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-haqq. How do you live by it? You do exactly that. You live through the truth. You speak the truth. You accept the truth on yourself. And you support the truth, willing to live for it and willing to die for it. I'll end with what he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Nisa and Surah Al-Ma'idah. They're similar verses. It says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina bil qisti, shuhada'a lillahi, walau ala anfusikum. أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلووا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Oh, those who believe, be advocates of justice and bear witness for the sake of Allah, even if that means you must bear witness against yourself, even if it means you have to speak out against yourself or your parents or those who are related to you. Do not worry about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of them. But you are required to always speak the truth, even if that means it will be detrimental against yourself. And there has never been a quote or a statement that is so much in support of the concept of righteousness than this ayah that we have in the book of Allah. And that is Ismullahi al-Haqq. سبحانك الله بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله